got me wrong from right. I was born in the South. Sometimes I have a big mouth when I see something that I don't like. I gotta say it.
And this is Michelle Morin on AM 740 KVOR. This is the After Hours podcast of the Michelle Morin Show. It is September 24th, 2017, and I'm joined by my wonderful producer, Jason. He's a millennial who looks like a white male, but he really isn't. Well, I guess he is. But I'm here to tell you what Big Media Want, and this After Hours podcast is, we brought this together because my two-hour live show every Sunday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m., I just cannot tell you everything the Big Media Won't tell you. You should see the stacks on my desk here in front of me. So we're just going to get right after it. I'm going to try not to repeat anything I shared in my live show, but there's going to be some overlap because of this NFL thing going on, for goodness sakes. But first, we're going to start off. I don't know if you heard this, but there was a shooting today at the Tennessee, at a Tennessee Church of Christ. It's called the Burnett Chapel Church of Christ. At 11:15 a.m. today, this is from Daily Wire, a masked gunman entered the Burnett Chapel Church of Christ in Antioch, Tennessee, and opened fire. One person has been killed, and at least seven others have been wounded. Most of these people are elderly people. It looks like a pretty small church. And apparently, a church usher ran up and confronted the gunman and got pistol-whipped by him. But then the guy, some report here where the gunman unintentionally shot himself in the left pectoral. Go figure. At that point, the usher went to his car where he got his weapon to confront the shooter again. And that's pretty much all we know at this point. We'll keep you posted, but the shooter was in his 20s. He's alive and being treated at a hospital, and that's all we know. I bring this to light because I hope that for my friends who go to church or synagogue that you're prepared. We are targets, and the fact that the usher ran out to his car to get his firearm is a little concerning. He should have had it on him, but he didn't. I just wonder how many lives would have been saved if he'd had it on him. But we don't know the details, and I'm certainly not going to lament or criticize him. I just point this out to bring awareness to the fact that our culture is increasingly violent. And Christians and Jews are increasingly becoming targets. And Big Media is not going to cover this at all. But the reality is that's what goes on, and we've got to be prepared. So just my little spiel there. Prayers for the family and friends of the church member who passed, who got murdered today. But I just wanted to bring attention to that.
And I just want to make a point that it's a little disappointing his weapon was in the car, but he had a weapon.
Yeah.
At least he had a weapon too. I mean, what would have happened if he didn't have that weapon?
I know.
It would have been a lot more worse.
I know. So I'm glad he had it.
Yeah.
You're
thank
right.
Thank goodness he had one to go get.
Okay. I'm gonna correct your language. I am a certified pistol instructor.
Mm-hmm.
I like to tell folks that because I do like to teach pistols and shooting when I can.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a firearm unless it's used as an attack to attack someone innocent, and then it's called a weapon.
So the distinction between a weapon and a firearm is the intent behind it?
Yeah, a firearm is what you carry in case you have in your home in case you have to defend yourself. A weapon is what a bad guy uses to hurt other people who are innocent.
I did not know that distinction.
Well, it was drilled into me when I went through my certification.
Okay.
My instructor said, don't you dare call these things a weapon because it's just it's like calling a rifle an assault weapon.
Well, I think this is distinctly just for firearms, for guns.
Yes.
Because if I use a bat, that's a weapon no matter what.
Yes, exactly. But it's just a bat if you're playing baseball or if it's sitting in your closet.
But if I use it to stop someone from hurting another person, it's a weapon. If I use that bat to kill someone innocently, it's still a weapon.
Okay. Well, I just
But yeah, I
understand. So I thought I'd take the opportunity to share a little bit of insight.
I am more knowledgeable now. I did not know that.
Yeah. So it's a firearm, because the left calls all of them weapons. At the school where my son goes to school, there's a sign, no weapons allowed. And I'm like, oh, okay. So firearms are okay.
I'm sure, yeah, you could push that point and get arrested.
No, I'm joking. It is a felony to carry a firearm.
Do not carry a firearm.
That was a total joke.
But yeah, yeah.
It was a joke. No, in all seriousness, if you're listening and you don't know this, there are places where you do not carry a firearm, period. No school property, not even on the curb of the school property.
Is it within... I know that there's a lot of drug use, or drugs are not permitted within 1,000 yards of the school. So it's not even the school
property.
I need to look into that.
It's
like 1,000 feet.
Just don't carry a firearm.
If you're going near a school, don't carry a firearm.
Nope. Not on a military base.
Well, I would hope you would be smart enough not to carry it there, because that's where they keep all the professional firearms.
Yeah. So if you... that was an unexpected topic.
Okay. So, well, I feel more intelligent now.
There you go. You just know a little bit more about the words.
The terminology.
Yeah, the terminology. So Trump has, on the live show, we talked about the NFL fiasco of the losers who were kneeling. And I was talking about
not just kneeling. They're hiding in the locker rooms now.
And hiding in the locker rooms? That's terrible. Gosh,
that's worse. In my opinion,
worse.
That is worse than kneeling. You're not even showing up for the anthem.
They're not even showing up. That's awful.
Yeah.
Whoever made that decision. And then only one of them actually came out and just said
had the
stones.
A better way of saying it than I would have said. Thank you for saying it first.
He had the stones to do the right thing. Yeah. So we've got lots of audio that we didn't get to share on the live show. So I want to share that with you. Let's start with Pastor Pelosi.
Oh, yes.
Pastor Pelosi. She is just disgusting. The audio you're going to hear, I was reading it in my drama voice off air. And I was sharing it with Jason. And even reading it, it puts you in that. It's just gross. I just call her Pastor Pelosi because she now is
all of a sudden
a woman.
Recently,
of God.
She's
a woman of God. So let's listen to Pelosi. She was on Meet the Press today, Sunday, and she was criticizing Trump because he was criticizing the NFL players for taking a knee. So this whole narrative is like totally flipped around. The NFL commissioner Goodall came out and said how Trump was being disrespectful and how this wasn't unifying. And oh my goodness, unity, and they're going to throw out unity. So here's Pastor Pelosi's take on it.
You gave a list of the examples of how the president has been, shall we say, exploitive of certain divisions in our country when it comes to race. I would hope that he would transition from that and understand that he has a different responsibility than feeding red meat to his base.
Oh, my goodness.
Really?
Red meat to his base? What did she just call us?
We're just dogs. Yeah, waiting. Well, I just want to point out that they're talking about how he's preying on the division in our country.
Yeah.
When all he said was, hey, it's the national anthem. You're in America. We all stand for the national anthem.
That is a unifying statement.
We all, as in, no, it's not just white people. It's not just, if you're an American citizen, you do that. And they're like, well, no. We need to divide us into, well, you're being, persecuted.
Division is unity.
Yeah. That's what they're saying.
It is what they're saying.
That's what they're, no, it does not make sense at all.
All right, let's listen to Pastor Pelosi some more.
That was it. That was it.
Oh, no. Okay. I'll do my drama voice. How's that?
Okay. Drama voice.
I'll be Pastor Pelosi. So Pelosi said this in addition to the audio clip that we gave you. I would like him to do what he said he would do when he ran and was inaugurated to bring people together. He should see this as an opportunity. Somebody, Colin Kaepernick doing what he did says, this flag enables me to do this. This national anthem enables me to do this. It's about freedom of expression. Instead of what he is doing now, I think he is ill-advised, if advised at all. Sports have always been a great unifier. I have always said sports and the arts bring America together. We put our differences aside. Let's not have the President of the United States do anything but bring people together. Sports and art bring art brings us together.
And I like how she's using this specific example as it brings us together. No, it's not creating a problem between the black community and the police community. No, no, no. It's bringing us together by him doing that.
It sure
really?
Is. Really?
No.
It's yes.
Pelosi has no idea. She's just literally pandering. If she's talking about red meat for
dogs,
Trump's dogs.
Red meat to the base.
She is pandering hard to her base with that.
Well, she continued. Pastor Pelosi. Oh. Well, you gave a list of the examples of how the president has been, shall we say, exploitative of certain divisions in our country when it comes to race. I would hope that he would transition from that and understand that he has a different responsibility than feeding red meat to his base. He has unclean hands when it comes to this discussion, too, because of what he did after Charlottesville and other examples you gave.
Oh.
He has unclean hands. Did she, like, pull that out of the Bible because she's just such a woman?
I wouldn't even give her that much credit. She does not own a Bible. She heard that somewhere, and she said, that sounds really good. I'm going to use that.
Unclean hands?
Unclean hands.
She's horrible. Oh. All right, so let's keep going. Let's just really ratchet up the sewage from the left. So Joe Biden, what is he up to? So I'm going to play an audio here. Jason's going to play an audio here from Joe Biden. It was last night, Saturday night. He was at the Charleston, South Carolina branch of the NAACP. Perfect opportunity to get really dramatic. Now, I'm not going to have to get dramatic on this one. He did it. So I was joking with you, Jason, about how, well, when you listen to the audio, it's a very forced passion. And I can just imagine him rehearsing this, like in his bathroom mirror or something.
Yeah. He's putting on a play.
Yes. And then this is how I think. This is, I don't see politicians as anything other than, my friend gave me this saying, and I love it. Politics is Hollywood for ugly people. That's what this is. And this is a perfect illustration of politics is Hollywood for ugly people. Insult intended. I don't like Joe Biden. I don't like him at all. And I can just see Joe Biden rehearsing this, and then you'll hear it. And then I can see him going home or driving home and being like, wow, I really pulled that off well. I fooled those people today, didn't I? You could just hear it. So,
I hope that he listens to it back again. Like, that was good.
Yes.
Man, that was good.
Yeah, I bet he does. I bet he does. Let's listen to it.
Because we have a president who has publicly proclaimed the moral equivalency between neo-Nazis, Klansmen, and those who oppose their venom and hate. When we have an American president who's emboldened white supremacists with messages of comfort and support, but this is a moment for this nation to declare what this president can't with any clarity, consistency, or conviction. Declare there is no place in America for hate groups. Hatred of blacks, Jews, immigrants, all who are seen as the other. They will not be accepted, and they will not be tolerated, and they will not be given safe haven in this nation.
Oh, he got his applause, didn't he? Oh, my goodness. That script was, he had some alliteration going there. He had some clarity, consistency, and conviction. That was an ad lib. That was well rehearsed.
That was prepared.
Oh, wow. Trump emboldened the white supremacist. When I hear him say that, I'm just hearing Biden say, you're the white supremacist. Trump is no white supremacist. The history of the Democrat Party is so racist and so white supremacist. We need to do a show on that.
Yes.
Just on that topic and bring some light on that subject.
Yeah.
Because the facts are what they are. And the white supremacists, the very fact that here's this old white guy at an NAACP meeting yelling a well-rehearsed, forced, passionate script to the this black audience, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see who's the white supremacist in this situation. Who is he exploiting here? He's exploiting this audience with his faux rage, and he knows it's all bunk.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the, I guess, the ugly beauty part of that.
The ugly beauty.
The ugly beauty, because it's so well done that you don't know. To the person who's just not paying attention, oh, he's just trying to help these people. It's like, no. He's doing what he thinks they will like, so they vote for him. So he goes in the power, and he can do whatever he wants.
Well, and that's what you were saying. You said it sounds like he's making a run.
Oh,
he's throwing his hat in.
If Obama, for as much as I don't like what he says, he's very quiet. He'll pop up once in a while. Joe Biden, it feels like he's getting his run ready. Like he's looking at the situation like, okay. These people don't like Trump for this reason. I'm going to hammer on that. That way, when all of a sudden my name comes up in 2019, people will remember what I said.
That's right. I don't know. You know, you think about nightmares, and Hillary's a nightmare. I just can't. The Biden thing, when they talk about threatening to leave the country, Jason, I just don't know if I could do it. Man, I don't know if I could stay here. Talk about therapy? Talk about needing therapy?
Let me make it even worse for you. What if, because Joe Biden, he wants to make sure that ticket looks really good, it's Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, my goodness.
And then everyone just leaves the country. Okay, we're good. We're going to start another America 2.
Yes. I'm starting to get the whole therapy thing. I'm thinking, if that happened... God help us. Oh.
I know.
This the fact that he's out there, you know, just entertaining this idea, it is bad.
Yeah, and I hope he doesn't, because when the thought happened in 2016, I was like, really?
Oh,
we're just
going
to do that?
No.
But thankfully, they threw all their hopes and dreams onto Hillary, which was never going to happen, a horrible woman. Thankfully, they did that.
What happened? Do you think she could ever run again with that title in her legacy?
Do you think she could run again after making fun of and disparaging and criticizing women after saying, we're going to break through the glass wall, except for the white women? You can't come with us.
Oh, gosh. All right. Some more audio. Chuck Schumer. Now, let me give you some context, free text for this. Chuck Schumer, this was Saturday as well. Boy, the left just gets after it on the weekend, don't they?
Yeah.
They
get a lot of that free time, I guess.
They do. They give me so much to talk about. They make my life fun here. So I got this from the Daily Wire. I credit them because they have a picture of Chuck Schumer. Now remember, just think about what Chuck Schumer looks like. Now think about him with shades, cool shades, okay? I'm rolling my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And some, like, a T-shirt, a black T-shirt. I don't know what the insignia is on the front. And in his hand, he's got a bicycle helmet, you know, because he's hip.
Oh, he knows what all the cool millennials know.
And he's got a microphone in one hand. And he looks like a cool dude, man. And he's on the stage at the Global Citizen Festival. That's their dead the Global Citizen.
Mm-hmm.
That is such a term that drives me nuts. But anyway, the left just loves it. We're all global citizens.
We're part of the earth.
Exactly. So Senator Schumer was at this Global Citizen Festival, in New York City yesterday, and he took a cue from Biden and started ranting. It's this is their thing. They rant. I want to have happy time when I speak. And I know I don't always have happy time, Jason. I know, especially when it comes to Obamacare, it gets a little bit tense in this building. I think it's bad. I get very angry talking about Obamacare. Besides that, sometimes talk about the GOP, but I am chilling about that. But besides that, I don't want to be, you know, the angry hater. I want to bring some...
So are you trying to tell me that you're going to come in with cool shades and like a t-shirt on like Chuck did? Is that what you're trying to say? You're going to come in with a bike helmet?
I guess if I need to look cool, maybe I need to do that. So anyway, my point is these leftists on the weekend seem to just take this opportunity to spread the hate. We were talking about projection on the live show.
Yeah.
And it's funny to watch them. They're so desperate that now they're yelling. So Biden, we heard in the last clip, is just making a complete fool of himself. And someone must have told Hillary to stop yelling. So now she's just, what happened? And I'm an innocent. I was just doing,
she's a victim.
I'm a victim of you white women.
Of the white women. White women betrayed her.
We did. So anyway, my point is I do try to bring positive and hope and into my message, even though I do kind of go off the deep end when it comes to Obamacare. But the left is just angry, and it's very dramatic. So Chuck Schumer, we're going to listen to him, and let's just let him. I'm not going to even give you a clue what he said. He's just ranting about this.
So I was shocked, outraged, when the White House proposed major cuts to the international affairs budget this year. Foreign aid has improved countless lives in every corner of the world. It's reduced deaths caused by malaria and childbirth.
Oh my.
It's increased literacy rates by millions. Millions of kids go to school because of what you have done. Almost 20,000 of you tweeted at me to show your support for this work.
He's cool because he
And
tweets.
We are going to continue to have the Statue of Liberty be our symbol, not that damned wall.
Oh. Oh, and they love him. They love him.
Yeah.
Not that damned wall.
And I have a feeling that nobody was paying attention or knew what he was talking about, but as soon as you say damn wall.
He cussed.
Oh, he's talking about the wall. We need to cheer about that.
Yeah, so this is the cool thing now to stand up and rant this weekend.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was what Schumer was ranting about, getting his, you know, holding his bicycle helmet, his cool bicycle helmet and his dark shades. You know, he probably rode his bike to the event.
No, I like wouldn't give him that much credit. He rode his car and a bike was on top.
You're so right.
No way he's riding a bike.
No, there's not.
If he could, he would have flown a plane from his apartment to the place.
Right. So anyway, he's basically guilting the audience into your hard-earned tax money has cured people from malaria across the world. And we've made children literate. No statistics whatsoever. They just throw out their measly talking
Details on anything. Yeah. How much money, how long ago, none of that. No. Details don't matter.
The Statue of Liberty is going to be our symbol, not that
wall.
Cursed wall. He's a cool guy. When he said the curse word, he got all the applause.
And seeing that video, it really reminded me of Bill Clinton on his campaign. He literally went on shows wearing his cool shades, playing a saxophone, and I'm like, really?
That's what you were talking about.
You are playing to that bass super hard, sir. Oh, really?
Isn't that funny? They put on shades and all of a sudden they're cool.
Yeah, well, I've got to play for the cool hip kids.
Oh, and then, goodness.
When was the last time I'm a millennial and we don't wear sunglasses. I'm just saying, maybe Chuck got it wrong information. You don't need sunglasses to be cool, Chuck.
Okay. All right, well, there you have it. So those were kind of the funny audio from the weekend. They're not funny in what they're trying to do to us, But as far as how far they're going with this, it's just it's the links they'll go to pull the wool over folks' eyes, and now they're yelling and ranting and cursing and what are they going to do next? I was going to say, but I'm not.
Don't give them ideas.
No.
Believe I'm willing to bet. I've looked at the stats for the podcast. Somebody in Washington's listening to us. I don't know who. It might be somebody.
Really? That's good news. That's good news. Back to the NFL for a second, because okay. I did not talk about this in the live show. The fans aren't having it with the whole protest of the national anthem.
Yeah.
This is also from Daily Wire. The New England Patriots fans booed the 17 Patriots players, 17, who knelt during the national anthem. Then the crowd shouted at the athletes to stand up.
Good.
Isn't that just awesome?
That is the best thing I've heard about this whole controversy. Other than Alejandro,
yeah,
that is the best thing.
I know. And we're not having it. We just want to escape and enjoy the game. Enjoy the sport.
Exactly. I'm not watching a football game to hear about your political affiliations. I'm not. I have 15,000 other channels I can tune in for that. Exactly. I won't care.
The left is just pushing in on everything we do. Every time we turn around. Just leave the football alone. They're coming after football because it is a truly American sport.
Yeah.
You know, football and apple pie, and they're trying to just destroy it all. And they're going to be destroying apple pie next.
Thank you for that. I'm going to make sure that you're known as the one who started that.
Right. Well, now it's getting into Major League Baseball. Oh. I don't know much about Major League Baseball, I confess. But there's a player. His name's Bruce Maxwell. He's on the A's.
Yeah. All right. Oakland A's, I'm assuming.
It got me on that one. Oakland A's, yes. Yeah. Bruce Maxwell. He. There's a tweet and a picture of him kneeling. He's the first MLB player to take a knee during the national anthem. Aww. He's the Kaepernick, isn't he?
Yes, he's the Kaepernick for baseball. I hope that the MLB cracks down and says, okay, you know what? The NFL is going down this road and it's not good for them.
Yeah.
We're not even going to tread. Nope. Stand up.
Well, NASCAR has. NASCAR basically said you're going to drive home on a Greyhound bus if you pull that nonsense.
Yeah, if you're not going to stand up, then no need to even be here. Get out. Just leave.
Okay. So, a couple stories. One more on the sexism. There's a director-producer. His name's Judd Apatow. Don't know who he is.
He does a lot of like adult comedy movies.
Okay. He looks like... He does odd stuff, but
he looks like he does odd stuff. Okay, well, that is the best definition I've ever heard of him. That's the best. I love it.
He tweeted, and he deleted the tweet, but he tweeted this. Now, did you know, let me give you some context, Betsy DeVos ended the Obama-era campus sexual misconduct policies because guys weren't getting due process.
Well, not just guys, but it happened to be on that,
yeah.
Those grounds. But yes.
And he tweeted after that policy was canceled, this Judd Apatow, they have come through for their rape base. So Pelosi talks about throwing red meat at the base, and this guy's talking about the rape base.
Now the base is a rape base now.
So he deleted it, though.
Oh, yeah.
He deleted.
I guarantee you deleted because it's a public comment that everyone is going to tear apart. Really?
Well, if I know about any of his movies, I won't go see him. So, NPR. They're very sad because we have gender-segregated competitive sports. NPR published today... gender segregated sports and the separation of men and women needs to be reconsidered to accommodate the notions of gender and transgenderism.
So what they're saying is that they wouldn't care about the physicality of a person.
Nope. You guy, if If you really want to win, Jason, just run on the women's track team.
I mean, that was my whole theory behind the ban on transgenders in the military is, well, if I'm not good enough as a man, I'm just going to say I'm transgender. I'm going to go take the women's test because it's proven that men are more physically capable. It has nothing to do with sexism or anything like that. It's genetics. We are literally stronger. We're made that way.
You're going to be crucified for all this.
Oh, I know. But I mean, it's not an opinion. It's a scientific fact.
It is the way it is. If you and I arm wrestled, I won't beat you tonight.
I mean, and that's not saying that there are no women on the planet that could. I'm sure there are plenty of women who could destroy me.
There are a few.
But on a global scale, that's how it works.
Well, here's what NPR says. Now, remember, this is public radio. Good old-fashioned government-funded radio.
I wish Trump
Which
would
we're
have.
Not.
Yeah. I wish
we
Trump would have pulled all that funding.
Are the free market.
Yeah.
And we tell it like it is. So here's an excerpt from their article. For years, professional sports has struggled with the fact that biologically, not everyone fits into a male or female box.
If they've really struggled, I wonder.
And not everyone's gender identity matches the physical body, genitalia, reproductive organs, and chromosomes, or even set of hormones that they have. Can you hear the violins? That's led to instances of gender testing and even suspending and banning female athletes who have naturally high testosterone levels, like South African runner Caster Semenya and Indian sprinter Dute Chand, even though testosterone doesn't automatically make you a gifted athlete. See most men in the world.
Whoa! Did they just throw every other man who's not an athlete under the bus? Like, oh, sorry. You guys aren't gifted athletes, so you're terrible. You're just a big fat slob.
Gosh. This is awful.
What?
This is...
I want to argue the fact that physical is the only way that a sport is not defined by your intellect. You don't have to be a smart person to play basketball. You have to be physically capable.
Listen to this. More excerpt.
Yeah.
Historically, men and women were separated in competitive sport when women were allowed to play at all because of social constraints and the presumption that women were too weak to physically exert themselves.
The assumption, not the proven fact or anything.
Like Hillary. This is so anti-woman when you talk about it.
It's talking about how, and not to demean them in any way, but I hope the sports just destroys the gender, identity, saying, hey, look, you know what? We're not going to segregate anyone by man, woman, female, male. Everyone's allowed to play. And then when no women can compete because they can't physically keep up, they're going to scream sexism. Oh, you're not allowing women to compete. Yeah. Well, no.
Yeah.
We had a women's sport, but you took it away. So now you have to compete with the men, and none of you can.
Let's go with some more excerpt here. This is hilarious. Yes. Hilariously sad.
It's aggravating to me.
Aggravating.
It's a man.
It is aggravating. These days, it's accepted that regardless of gender, you can be an elite athlete, but most sports are still separated by gender for the sake of good competition, as most men are bigger than most women and perform various athletic events differently. This is from the NPR.
Imagine that.
Right.
Really? So we have to keep them separate because they're capable of different things.
And then they go into a sex ed paragraph. Biologically, much of this size and performance difference can be explained by the fact that the average man has about 10 times the amount of testosterone as the average woman. Who knew?
What? Are they just disproving their earlier statement about how testosterone doesn't do anything?
Listen to this.
What?
The hormone, testosterone, is responsible for characteristics society tends to think of as male, like beards and deep voices, and also muscle mass and strength.
So women aren't allowed to have muscle mass or strength?
I think I want to grow a beard.
You want to grow? And I would beg to differ. I've seen plenty of women who have grown.
Would like to have a beard. and just go along with this article.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness. It's funny, but this is striking at, you know, our culture. I mean, they really want us to believe this stuff.
And I hope that they are literally writing for their echo chamber.
They
put this article out there and 80% of people read it and go, that's a bunch of baloney.
Oh, my goodness.
And then, yes, they're the 20% who are going to read it and be like, that's me.
Yeah.
We need this.
Yeah.
But the overwhelming majority of people are like, no, that's not.
And, you know, I always have to caveat this. I know there are people, especially with this confusing narrative, I know that in high schools and colleges, there are young people who are now confused because of this.
Yeah.
And I have somewhere, let's see, where is my stack for the rest of this? This goes segues very well. In California, the School Board of Northern California's Rocklin Academy, this is from Red State, voted unanimously to keep a policy that allows books that promote transgenderism to be read to children as young as 5. But they did add a policy they would warn parents before they did. Sounds, you know, like they're taking, you know, positive steps, right?
Well, warn parents before?
Oh, it gets worse. Despite notifying the parents, the school board denied a proposal to give the parents the right to pull their children out of classes that would teach the children pro-transgender education, essentially making the notification rule useless?
Yeah.
No. This is a rant. All right, we have to talk. Yeah.
That is child abuse. I just want to make that known.
This is tyranny. When a government can tell you you can't take your child out of a class, the citizens no longer are in control.
Yeah.
And my big thing about schools is when we're asking a school board, a school system, to give us as a parent permission to do something with our child, something's gone horribly, horribly wrong. And we don't – it's almost like we – I was raised in the public school system. So were you.
Yeah.
It's been around a long time. Most people I know all went to public school. And it is such a frog in the water thing, the water that's starting to boil. People don't even think about this. And it is a huge contributor to why we are where we are. The public schools, just by their nature, I call them communist schools because that's what they are. They're big government schools. They're co-owned by the community. And that's where... public is just another word for communal, communist. And I know that's offensive to a lot of – I know it's offensive to most folks who listen who went through the public school system because you're saying, golly, that I went to public schools and I'm fine. Well, I went to public schools too, and I'm not fine. There's a lot I didn't learn, and I wouldn't want my kids to go through and not know what I don't know because I got gypped of a really good education. I already know that. And I went to one of the best schools in the community. So I know that's offensive, but I am not here to tiptoe around this stuff. And I know there are wonderful teachers and administrators in the public school systems who have a heart to do what's right, and they go to work every day, and they do the very best they can. It doesn't change the fact that the school itself is run by the government, and it has grown into a mammoth system that parents have to ask permission. No. The child is mine, and I pay taxes for you to serve in the public schools. It's not the other way around, but that's the way the narrative and the mindset has flipped, is we serve them by being the taxpayer instead of them serving us as this public servants. It's just that's not even – you don't even hear it anymore. And the fact that how – I'm trying to figure out – how would a public school prevent me as a parent from taking my child out of a class when they're going to – so if I get a notification that Johnny's going to be hearing a transgender story tomorrow, how are they going to stop me from taking my child out of the class?
He's not going to school tomorrow. I'm not even going to take him out of the class. He's not going to school, period, tomorrow. Because I know it's going to be impossible to go in there and take him out for third period or whatever it happens to be.
Well, that's my question is if you did want to go take him, what
– they wouldn't let you.
Is this enforceable is my question.
Oh, I bet you it's not. But they're going to make it appear as it's enforceable until someone legally – they bank on the people just bowing down to the school's power. Oh,
they do bank
it's school policy, so I can't do – no. People need to stand up and say, no, that's not legal, and no. I will take you to court.
And you serve me, Mr. Administrator.
Yeah, it's a public school.
Yeah. So anyway, I wanted to shed some light on that. And there's this interesting story coming out of Canada. This will be probably the last story for tonight. We've got so much, but I can only talk for so long. So this same-sex couple went to a jeweler in Canada, and the jeweler is in Mount Pearl and NL. I found what that meant. It's somewhere in Canada. Anyway, this same-sex, it's two women, Nicole White and Pam Renouf. They went to the Mount Pearl jewelry store and looking for wedding rings. They're going to get married. And the jewelry store is called Today's Jewelers. They were recommended to this couple because they craft custom designs. Well, the store took their order and designed rings for this couple, this lesbian couple, and served them so well that the couple started recommending the jeweler to their friends. And one of the women in this situation said that the business owners were great to work with. They seemed to have no issues. They knew they were a same-sex couple. And then, like a friend of a friend of a friend went into the jewelry store and saw a sign on the wall that read, quote, "The sanctity of marriage is under attack." So the friend took a picture of the sign and sent it to this lesbian couple that ordered the custom-designed rings. And the lesbian couple got so mad, they want their money back. And I have to say something. The whole LGBT militant movement is something I have been warning about ever since, you know, I've had a voice in this. You want to pull out the haters in the world, this is what you do. You talk about the LGBT.
Do I need to look up the whole acronym?
And I'm not talking about, I'm really not talking about gay people. I'm talking about the militants, the ones who, like these two women. It's not good enough that the jewelry store owner made them the rings and gave them great service and gave them such great service that they started referring their friends. I've warned back when Colorado was talking about making gay marriage legal. I warned, this is not what it seems. It's all about love. It's not all about love. It's about an agenda. It's about subjugating you and me to believe and not, it's not about tolerance. It's not about love. It's about if we don't believe and, you know, become subject to what they believe, then we are criminals. And that's what it's all about. It's not about freedom of speech. It's not about about the left trying to dominate us. And again, I want to caveat that. I know there are gays out there who don't share this militant, hostile attitude. But there's enough of them that they come out there and they sue cake bakers and they sue wedding photographers. And it's not about equality. It's about trying to get you and me to say, oh, yes, It's all right and good.
No, it's not even about that. It's about participation. We don't have to just acknowledge them. We have to participate with them.
That's true.
We have to make them a cake.
That's
we don't
true.
Have to just say, you know what, do whatever you want. It's your life. We have to not only do that, we have to make them a cake. We have to take their wedding pictures. We have to make them rings and endorse their lifestyle.
Well, it's not good enough just to make the rings and give them good service.
But I mean, we have to endorse it.
They
we have
find
to say
out
it's
from
great.
A friend of a friend of a friend that they've got the sign, and now they're unhappy.
Yeah.
Get over yourself.
Well, you and I, the where I fall on this is, I have no problem with someone who, if they want to be crazy and get a refund for whatever reason they want, that's their priority, and that's it. If you don't want to do business with someone because of whatever they believe, that's on you and whatever.
Yeah.
The moment they decide to sue because of their beliefs, no, sorry, that's not going to happen. Well, and I'm sure they probably would have if he refused to, if the jewelry store refused to make them a ring.
Right.
They would have sued.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's where I was going with it, was there's no winning.
Yeah.
Unless you just, you know, roll out the red carpet and say, oh, gay marriage is awesome.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what we have tonight for the After Hours podcast. We have so much more to talk about, but it's late. And we'll just have to hit it again next week. So tune in every Sunday, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. here on AM 740 KVOR for my live show, the Michelle Morin Show. I'm always telling you what big media won't. And also go to the KVOR website and click on my page to catch up with all the After Hours podcasts like this one. And have a wonderful week. This is Michelle Morin, and I'm signing off.